guys. Just a reminder that there's a new show on the Frog Pants Network called Core. That's right, Core at frogpants.com/core. It's all about Heroes of the Storm. It's Heroes of the Storm, top to bottom. Strategies, news, all the coverage you want, competitive scene, all of it. It's me, it's Bo, it's John, and we're doing it every Sunday. So go check it out. Subscribe today. Free, of course, on all your devices, your apps, whatever you do to get your podcasts. That's at frogpants.com/core. We'll see you then. Everybody, welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 429 for Friday, October 23rd, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. We are less than 2 weeks away from BlizzCon. I don't know how that happened. That's crazy. Joining me today, at least one of them will be at BlizzCon. Dills, Willie Dills Gregory, what's going on?
What up? I will be at BlizzCon. Still working out some details of some other things, but it's going to be a lot to do, man.
Yeah, it's going to be
a lot to do.
Going to be crazy. I have a couple theories that have formed this week about the BlizzCon you and I will be attending this year, and I'll share those shortly. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting.
Also, are we doing a live show, by the way?
Yeah, I assume so. There always is one, but I never plan it much until we're there.
All right, cool. So just let me know.
Yeah, because we'll get there and we'll go, hey, dude, I'll text you. You'll be at lunch. I'll be somewhere. We'll say, let's get together at 3, and everybody will, you know, do whatever they do. Terpstra will be there, too, and I don't know what his schedule is. He's got, like, all the Yogs people with him. So that'll be interesting, but we'll get to all that in a minute.
It's going to be Yog-sitting.
Yog-sitting. Oh, my Lord. That's a great way to put it. Patrick. That was Patrick. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. The big 429.
Yeah, baby.
429th episode. I can't believe we finally made it to 429.
It's a big one.
How do we celebrate 429? 420 was easy, but 429, what do you do there?
420, I'm not ready to go down that route. It's too much, too much.
430, that's what, you guys remember the movie, the Harrison Ford movie, Witness, where he was hanging out with a bunch of Amish people? Do you remember that?
Oh my God.
Well, anyway.
I haven't thought about that movie in, a long time.
It was a long time ago, but I never forget the old man who ran the Amish farm who woke up John Book in the middle of the night and said, it's 430, time for milking.
So that's next episode. So we do some
next
milking.
Episode is all there's right. Going to be some milking. Gotcha. All right, we can do this. And I will not be at BlizzCon, which I'm sure everyone's super sad about. You could not be sadder than I am.
I am super sad. You could. I am sad. You have been a fixture at BlizzCon at every BlizzCon I've gone to. So you not being there. My first one was 2011. So I started kind of late. But 2011, 2013, 2014, Patrick was always there. And you're not there now, and that weirds me out a little bit.
I know. I've been to like 7 or 8, I can't remember, and you know, I'm drowning in company creation, administration, paperwork. So and I'm tired, and you know, I could save the money. So
there's a lot of
I'm bummed too. You know, I don't know. I'm torn between but I want to go to BlizzCon and but I really want to stay home and not get on a plane for 12 hours and have the craziness of like everything happening at BlizzCon once more.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think in the end, I'm going to end up regretting it. But
the only thing I'll regret is no breakfast with you, no hanging out with you, no sitting in the press area with you, no talking to you on the show while we do this live thing that Dilzai and Terpstra will end up doing. Last year was when we announced you were going to be on the show. Like, there's a lot of melancholy, man. Just a little melancholy.
Yeah, I don't mind so much. I'm okay.
How do you guys feel about? I mean, she couldn't tell us last week, but Michelle knew about it. But how do you guys feel about the switch out of her co-host for the virtual ticket? Did you hear about that?
I did not even pay attention.
So her.
What's happening?
So Jeff Keighley's out. Alex Albrecht is in, so it's Alex Albrecht.
Oh, that's cool.
Michelle Morrow.
I know, Scott. You don't like Jeff Keighley.
Oh, I like Jeff Keighley fine. He's great. He's great. I've even had some interactions with him. My only problem with Jeff Keighley is I'm not a giant fan. It's not even really a problem, but I'm just not a big fan of that style of presentation. It's a little bit too like the evening news with Dan Rather for me. it's just kind of a style that I don't, that I'm not.
So you mean you'd rather have Alex Albrecht?
Here's what I'm saying. Alex will bring to the, he will bring to the table the thing that I do like, which, you know, whether or not he does it better than someone else, I don't know. I couldn't speak to that, but he's going to bring that kind of, let's just talk about stuff. And I like it a little bit more raw than just, than the kind of shiny corporate sounding thing that Jeff does. And again, Jeff's really good at it, and he has mainstream games in a lot of ways that other you know, people like him have not been able to do. So this is not a knock on him. It's just not my favorite way of expressing one's opinions about video games. So there's that. Anyway, that's happening.
It's I mean, I'm a big fan of Alex Albrecht. I've been following, you know, the Totally Rad show and the Dig Nation for forever. They were basically my idols in 10 years ago when I started doing watching podcasting, them and, you know, you and Tom Merritt, basically.
Yeah, of course. Jeez, can get it all covered here, man.
But but yeah, it's I do worry he might be on the other end of the spectrum with, I have never seen him host some official functions, so maybe, I don't know. He may be basing my opinion of him on Dig Nation, which was, you know, him and what's his face?
Kevin
on
Rose.
The couch being idiots.
Kevin Rose, yeah.
Huh? Yeah, Kevin Rose on the couch being idiots might not be the best way of gauging his professionalism.
Yeah, some are very worried about that. Maybe there's something in between, but I don't know. Change is interesting. We'll have to see how it goes. None of us are going to care too much because we're going to be on the floor. Well, you are, I guess. You're going to watch the virtual.
Well, game. I'm going to care. I'm going to be watching that. So.
Yeah, I mean, if I have a goal at all, it is for Dills and I somehow, and Terpster if possible, to get behind the set and photobomb the shit out of that thing.
It's tough, though. There's a lot.
Please do.
It's not a set you can like get behind, really.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big backdrop.
They've thought of that.
They
you
have,
can get
they
on
have.
The side, and you can be like, Michelle!
They're going to totally bugger.
Totally do that, yeah.
Yeah. I never miss my mark, we can yell.
Or run on the set and
yeah,
do something crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People really enjoyed her last
week. Everyone should really listen to The Instance. It's an awesome show. Bye.
Yeah. I think, and, you know. Scott, you should write soy bomb on your chest and just run up on the stage.
I like your thinking. Anyway, just, and for people that don't know, Albrecht's been kind of quiet since Dig Nation ended, like 2012 it ended. So there hasn't been much.
Well, isn't he still doing the...
No, you're thinking about the Totally Rad show.
No, Dig Nation was 2012. That was the end date.
Yeah, but the Totally Rad show ended later.
Oh, I thought that was sooner.
Than what
that.
About the doesn't he have a World of Warcraft podcast too?
Oh, I don't What's know. That's still
lore.
A thing?
Yeah,
Project
but that
lore?
Didn't last very long.
That's
Project
not going
lore.
Anymore. Okay.
No, that was a few weeks.
No, it went
I
on
never
for
listened to it anyway,
less than so. A year.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
It didn't work out.
So I don't know what he's been up to. I know he's been up to some film stuff and some other things. Had a short film that came out about Voltron or something. So anyway, it will be very interesting to see if this marks a big media return for him as a voice in the community. I guess
more curious to know why Jeff Keighley was thrown out, or you know why he left.
Well,
maybe
I mean,
he's gonna focus on his what's the show he's doing,
the video game awards show thing he does.
Yeah,
probably
that must take a lot of time.
I imagine that's a big project now because not only is he's running an actual award show which has all of the things that involves, but also that's interfacing with a lot of companies about reveals they're gonna do during that award show, the way they at least did it traditionally on Spike or G4 or whatever it was on. I suspect maybe that's it. Who knows? Maybe it's just enough years and he's like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe they were like, you know, we don't want to do this anymore. Who knows? I have no insider info on that. I'm sure it's all fine. It's all water under the bridge. Whiskey under the bridge, as the country musician likes to say. One other important note about BlizzCon stuff that I just want to mention to any AIE members of our guild, our still world's largest World of Warcraft guild. If any of you are in the mood to help volunteer or have ideas or want to hang out and do stuff in the guild hall, I'm going to recommend that you get a hold of some people and you want to do it directly through. Hold on, I'm going to get a Twitter account here. You want to access or you want to do some public replies to AIE_WoW on Twitter. That's AIE_WoW. I wanted to get the word out that that is coming up. We have a space at the Hilton, as always. And if you want to help out and be a part of that, let us know. Also, I'm going to the Wowhead party, and I'm nervous about that party. Why am I nervous about that party? I shouldn't be nervous about that party. It'll be fine. It'll be fine, right? Wowhead, they're fine. They're great.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, nervous how?
I don't know. I don't know why I am. I have no idea. Okay. I think it's because it's the biggest party on the premises. Like, even the curse party's not as big. This thing's huge, like thousands of people space.
So you're not worried. It's not that you're worried it's going to, you know, break out into a zombie invasion. No. Or it's not that kind of nervous.
No, it's more like, I don't know what it is. Honestly, it's not even like, it's not crazy nervous. I'm just, I don't know. It seems like a lot of people in a space that it could get interesting. Anyway, we'll see.
Everyone's going to be trying to schmooze as much as they can with everybody
else.
It's
a lot of schmooze. Yeah. Yeah. There's schmooze
everywhere.
You stand
there and let the people schmooze with you.
Yeah. Let all the schmooze just run off your back.
Yeah, just let it schmooze all over you.
It's starting to sound really. Now I am nervous. All right. Anyway, so that's all coming up. Let's get into some of the news this week, which is not very much. It's a little. There's some.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
Easily the biggest news in and around Blizzard, period, is their decision internally to create a much bigger esports division, or literally create an esports division. Former CEO of ESPN and the NFL Network, Steve Boorstein, will serve as the division's chairman, and Mike Sepso, who was most recently co-founder and president of Major League Gaming, or the MLG, will serve as a senior vice president. If those two hires are not a sign that Blizzard is serious about backing their esports initiatives, I don't know what else could be. That's a huge deal.
It's even more than a couple of hires. Basically, what they're doing is that, so for Activision Blizzard, you have the company Activision Blizzard, which holds or owns or whatever, basically Activision Publishing, which is what we usually think of as Activision, and Blizzard Entertainment, which is what we usually think of as Blizzard Entertainment. Right. Well, this is an esports division, which is a third division held by Activision Publishing, Activision Blizzard. So now you have Blizzard, Activision, and that esports division, which are basically the three things that Activision Blizzard owns. It seems like a very ambitious way of doing that format. The new company is not under any of the other entities, and they have obviously very ambitious people running it. It's going to be super interesting to see if they're going to focus on Activision and Blizzard properties only. I suspect in the beginning, at least, that's what it's going to be. Although most of it is going to be Blizzard. I think Call of Duty has a healthy esports scene, but I can't really think of any other Activision title.
They're
that
way
does.
Outshined but, by CSGO. Like, just way outshined by CSGO.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
And but they don't
so
want to be.
It's a lot of Blizzard, but are they going to go further? Are they going to create a league and do tons of different esports?
Well, we have an answer to that for the Call of Duty side. At least a little bit. There's a $3 million pool prize pool for some new tournament. So that is something I assume is in conjunction with this.
They're calling it the World League, so I'm guessing it's going to be like a season or something like that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's fine. If you're going to take your already extremely profitable annual franchise and make it do something else, it makes sense that you'd want to get into that space. And I would argue that CS:GO is a huge surprise for a lot of people. Not because, Counter-Strike's always been popular, but the fact that it's become this enormous, attractive esport, I think took a lot of people aback. And I think people had resigned themselves to the idea that FPS esports weren't a thing of the past. You know, we weren't going to see the fatalities of the Unreal Tournament days anymore.
Yeah.
We were going to see something very different. So
I'll tell you this, if you don't play those games, it's really uninteresting to watch.
Oh, yeah. No, it's boring as hell.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem, dude. The reason we've talked about this, I think maybe before, maybe even last week, but MOBAs and RTSs have done well as esports because you've got this three-quarter view, kind of football field view of everything.
Yeah.
And you can just see all the interesting things happening. You're zooming in and out. You can create a much more interesting commentary when it comes to these FPSs because you don't have that intrinsic perspective on the game. It becomes a very different kind of thing. And if you're not into the game, you're going to be far less interested in that stuff.
There needs to be like the ability to have slow-mo replays and stuff to really see what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like a MOBA, you can kind of zoom around, see what's going on. And the animations really make it obvious. Like, oh yeah, this guy, you know, slammed into that guy, shot a laser at this guy, and he died, and mm-hmm. that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, imagine a football game that was the point of view of a helmet, and that's all you ever saw, and you might be able to switch between helmets, but that's a very limited version of that experience. It's a fun way to play a video game, don't get me wrong, but I think that's what's held FPS's back. So I'm going to say it again, because I've said it before, and I really believe this to be true. I think, here's a prediction, you know how I like these, Blizzard will make it someday, not right away, it's not important to them out of the gate, but when we've got some rubber on the road for Overwatch, they will figure out a way to get that engine in a observable way that is basically an overhead sort of, let's see the action from this angle, football field style.
You kind of see some of that when you see like the death recaps, right? Don't you see like, mm-hmm. Or is it always from the first person perspective?
I don't remember.
I thought they had like an action death recaps. Cam.
No, not for the death recaps. I think death recaps are for them from the perspective of the person that killed you.
You already have it.
The overhead, not the overhead, but some strategically placed cameras in different places of the map, so you can observe what's happening. So, Scott, your prediction already came true.
Yeah,
sold it.
But even that,
come on, go ahead.
I totally called it.
Scott, yeah. Right there, you go. 3-2-1
called it. But hold on, no. What I mean is, even I want to go a little bit further. That's all great, and yes, they're thinking of those things. But this is not a technical feat they can't accomplish. Imagine a view of whatever the battlefield is, whatever the map is, and the buildings are essentially removed. So you don't have all of this blockage in this one view. All you see are pathing and where the players are, and you can tell they're behind things. Maybe it's wireframe or something. There's technical ways to do this in a way that will make that interesting to people who don't care about actually playing the game in the same way that watching a Heroes match or a League of Legends match or something is fun for them to watch.
Yeah, this is a hurdle for esports though, because you know it's like I don't have to go out and play football with my buddies to understand football and enjoy it, right?
Right.
But with video games, if you don't play the game, it's always going to be a little bit of a struggle to understand what the hell's happening. So this is one of the things when people talk about, oh, esports is going to become as big as anything else. It's like, well, my aunt watches football and she's never once thrown a football in her life. This is a hurdle that they're going to have to jump at some point.
We could get there.
I think there are two different levels of popularity, and for sports, even people who haven't, you know, for football and things like that, even people who have never played there, it's so prevalent in our culture because it's been around for so long that you have an overall understanding of what to look for and what's happening. And yes, it is more, you know, it is easier to understand. And you know, in your country, you guys always get together and watch the big game at what is it,
Super
Thanksgiving
Bowl
or whatever. There you go.
It's in February. So, it's always right around my birthday.
Okay, so
hold on, everybody. Bill's, we're getting a lesson in how the French sees American football is what we're learning right now. I love this. Okay, keep going. Don't stop. Mm-hmm. I want more.
So no, but I'm kidding. Of course, I know all of this. But what I'm saying is, it's so embedded in society that you always know more or less how it works. Same for soccer here. You always know what it is, even if you haven't played it already. So I think it's almost kind of the same thing in esports. If, you know, in real sports and esports, if you don't like it or if you're not interested, you're probably not going to watch it. But since it's so present, you kind of understand and you might watch the big thing because it's on TV, the world, you know, championship on TV and other people want to watch it. I can imagine that if you're hanging out with, you know, a family of people who want to watch the Heroes of the Storm final on that one day of the year and you're having dinner at their place, you're going to sit down and you're going to, you know, look at it and start understanding it. So I think it's possible that we get there. It's just, it's going to take a lot of time. And I think Activision Blizzard is looking at the space we're in now and they're thinking, all right, now it's ready to go bigger, not huge.
Yeah, they need to invest in it.
A lot bigger than it's been.
Yeah, they need to invest in the infrastructure of it. And that totally makes sense to me. There are two factors here, though, that we haven't really mentioned that I think are important to mention. The differences between esports as they are now or will be versus traditional sports where people get very communal and get into their teams and watch them. Football or baseball or soccer, international football, those things have been around for a very, very long time. And outside of a few tweaks to rules here and there and changes and the padding or whatever it is, the equipment, the technology around it, the core game has never really changed. It's always been the same. The difference, the big differentiator with esports is even if the generations catch up, all the old people who hate video games die and we all understand video games forever and we all get it and we all enjoy it, even then, it's not like people will still be playing StarCraft II in 100 years. They will be playing something else that may evolve to the point that it's not even a thing you sit at a computer for. Like, there's so many factors that could change there, whereas football is going to be football. Even if one day we got robots doing it, it's still effing football. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
yeah, but I'd argue you can get the gist of almost any, you know, video game relatively quickly. I mean, admittedly, some of them are more complicated than others. Maybe StarCraft is a little bit more difficult, but if it's explained to you for 10, 15 minutes, you kind of get it. And then there's some joy in that as well. Some person is going to tell you, oh, then he did that, and then they did that. And I don't think that's as, I think it's a hurdle, but I don't think it's as big a hurdle as people are making it to be. It's not like people are complete idiots, but they still, even complete idiots can understand the basic principles of StarCraft or a MOBA, which is easy, or a fighting game or an FPS, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I disagree with that. I think that a game like StarCraft is incredibly hard for the viewer to understand. I mean, it's enjoyable when you get the basics of it, but understanding, like, at what point did you put down gas and why does that matter and what units are you going into and what the build is and then how you're continuing to alter your build and, like, why is there a single drone going out? He's looking at, like, all, there's a lot of weird little stuff. Whereas someone who doesn't understand baseball can sit back and cheer when someone hits a ball out of the whole stadium.
No, right? you're totally
like,
right.
That's totally just right. Like easy to get. Right?
I completely agree with that.
Yeah,
I completely agree with that. The only difference here, and this is where I'll side a bit with Patrick on this, is that if the video game and what we're seeing is what's hitting and what's making a big splash right now, MOBAs, for example, still have a lot of complicated stuff going on. But they've got that factor that Dills is talking about, which is, oh my gosh, did you see that huge fight in that corner over that thing? Or did you see that amazing save at the thing? Or that guy was killed last second and they saved their core or whatever. Like, that stuff's happening, and so you get it from an excitement standpoint. You don't have to know a ton about the meta. StarCraft's like football in that there's a bunch of plays being called and the defensive coordinator's telling people to do stuff and nobody really knows what all that is behind the scenes. It's part of the strategy. You can learn a lot about football and kind of get into that side of it. But if you just want to be a casual football player, you can without knowing what the play was or why it was called. So all I'm saying is StarCraft's a bad example in the same way that maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to get another good example of a game.
So that's the thing. Not every game is going to be football or baseball or soccer. Some of them are going to be golf, which is boring as hell to watch, right?
Well,
or baseball.
But there's a lot of people... The thing is there's a lot of people who, but see, that's subjective, of course. Like, a lot of people watch golf who don't really play golf because they enjoy, like, Tiger Woods, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that, like, esports will have to figure out.
I know there's lots of women that enjoy Tiger Woods.
But I mean, like, even people who didn't care about golf suddenly cared because there was a personality that made them care, right?
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to find that in esports, and that's actually another huge hurdle because most of these guys are super cringy during interviews, and it's going to be tough. You're going to have to find those personalities. So there are some that, I mean, I watched the Hearthstone finals, and guys like, you know, Hot Form were very outgoing and seemingly normal. Mm-hmm. And then some of the other guys were like super weird and awkward. So.
Yeah. That like guys like Trump, very charming, affable, interesting to listen to guy, not mm-hmm. Donald Trump. I just want to make that clear since our current, it's hard now to talk about him without having to clarify that, but he's a really interesting guy to listen to talk about Hearthstone. He's the kind of person who you could see being interviewed post-match and have that kind of good experience. But your Dills is totally right. Now, that's true also in, you know, regular sports. They're not all Michael Jordan. They're not all Charles Barkley. A lot of them are just kind of like, you know, just sort of not really answering very well and whatever.
Oh, no, please continue that.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I was almost going to do this thing I hate in sports, but I'm not going to do it. But anyway, the point is, I think it's all a tipping point issue. It's got really nothing to do with most of these issues as much as it does getting to a point where there is enough substantial interest that it tips and now mm-hmm. it won't matter. Because even, like, you know, hockey is not the most popular sport in America by a long shot. but it has rabid fans and it has a bunch of teams, and it's a professional sport in this country and in Canada. So it's going to continue to be this thing for that group, and that's all esports ever needs to find is that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be as big as football. That's, I mean, when they that's why I'm like, when they compare it, like, oh, I think it will rival traditional sports. Like, we don't need to do that. We don't need to rival traditional. We just need to build on what we already got going, right?
I agree.
And I think there will be a point where esports is, you know, like the Colin Cow craps of the world have all like died off, and no one cares anymore about the people who like think it's dumb. And the kids who grow up playing video games are really good. Won't be so socially awkward because they're not going to be like shunned in school. Mm-hmm. Like they're like, why are athletes considerably more flamboyant as people? Because they're super popular when they're in school.
Yeah.
And they're the best athlete in their high school. Right. Mm-hmm. And like they're that it's like nature versus nature. Like they come out of their shell, right? Everyone loves them.
There's a league kid or there's a league player who's really good at my kid's school, apparently, my son's school, and people worship,
and he's like popular, right?
worship that kid.
Yeah, see, and that didn't used to happen.
Nope.
Like, you didn't used to be the most popular kid in your school because you play video games, and that culture is going to change, and then those kids won't be, like, shut-ins anymore. They're going to be flamboyant personalities. They're going to feel confidence in themselves.
Sure.
And right now, it's like they come out, and then suddenly it's like, oh, I got to be on stage in front of a bunch of people. Like, I'm used to, you know, shutting in and practicing video games.
It's a good point. We're waiting for the stories, right? That's what people want. We want a story to glom onto. We want a thing to root for that's more than just ones and zeros in a straight face. We need to have a reason to get behind something. And traditional sports have that. Esports are working on it.
Money comes in, too, the training's going to change. Like, you're not going to get a guy who just got really good on his own and then got picked up by a team. You're going to get like guys who get trained to be on the team, and like part of their training regimen is like going to the gym and working out and being healthy and all that kind of stuff, because you see that right now in some team houses that they're forcing them to actually go to the gym and take care of their
lay off the Cheetos bodies, dude.
Right? Yeah, because so they're physical, like, you know, you have to like keep up
pretty stringent physical.
Yeah,
it's a lot of them do,
but it's neglected by an individual who doesn't have someone telling him to do that. Right.
Good point.
I'm wondering though if it's going to be a bunch of smaller communities and smaller sports rather than one dominant, you know, one or two or three dominant things. So that might also be. But you know, the one question we didn't address, and I'm guessing we have to move on. But do you think that Blizzard, you know, Activision Blizzard esports division is going to integrate other games from other companies at some point, or do you think they're going to limit to?
I look at it as the NFL. To me, it feels like the NFL. The difference being that's not one sport they're running. It's as if the NFL also had other sports under its wings. Like the NFL was the National Fun Ball Association, and they had both. They had football, and then they also had lacrosse teams, or they had, you know, air hockey championships, or something like that. This is a bit more like that, but I do think that they want to control. Everybody wants a piece of whatever hot thing is in tech or gaming or entertainment, and I feel like they're going to want to try to control that. I don't think they're going to go, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe EA comes around and goes, look, the Star Wars Battlefront turned out to be a huge competitive thing that we came up with in this mode. We want to take it there. Or Rocket League, a better example. Can Rocket League join the Activision Blizzard esports initiative and not MLG?
I mean, it's possible, but I think it doesn't happen for a while. I think if this ends up becoming like the biggest company that works exclusively in esports, at some point maybe other games will go to them and say, you know, similar like what like ESL and MLG do now, where companies go to them and just say, can you handle this like tournament for us? You know, maybe companies go to this division and say, can you take over our league for our game? Like, we just want to concentrate on the game. We don't have a division for esports.
Yeah.
Could you guys do it? And maybe they make deals that way. But I don't think we do that until
it's like
they
Steam.
Really feel confident in what they got with the
it's
Blizzard.
Like, it's like Steam and Valve a little bit, if you think about it. I mean, what is Steam other than a platform that they started for themselves, really, and then started inviting others in, but still actively have for their games like Dota and Go and these games that are killing it in esports. But that's like an open platform that others can, well, not open, but others can join. You know, it would be like the Blizzard launcher, the Battle.net launcher, suddenly taking on a bunch of indie titles or something. I don't think they want to be in that business, but there's nothing that says they can.
It'd be new, though. Like, no one's doing that now. No one has done that. So it would definitely be something breaking the mold.
Yeah.
I think that's the really big opportunity. There isn't, you know, there are tons of small-ish esports things that are independent, like, you know, like the MLG, like the ESL, that are getting big. But I don't think there's one giant, you know, 800 million tons gorilla that's come into that space and that's done things on a grand scale. And I'm thinking Activision Blizzard might be thinking, that's what we can do. They have, you know, they're one of the few companies in that space that have more money than what they know what to do with. And I've suggested a few uses for that money, but apparently they're not listening to me, and they might invest in those in that esports division heavily and become the one go-to thing that is comparable to, we've heard a lot about ESPN. And yeah. Anyway, it will be interesting
these
to see
are, if these are gigantic names
Capcom and do Street Fighter things.
Sure. These are gigantic names and it's a big deal. In that, they seem to be very serious about it. So if anyone questioned their interest in making esports, you know, as big as they can in their little walled garden, I think you have your answer. BlizzCon news. By the way, there's no WoW news this week. Like, none. Like, literally nothing. There's a couple of patch notes. Oh, we hot fixed a naval battle or a naval mission, and that's it. I mean,
it's BlizzCon. I think the devs are busy.
Yeah. No, I don't
blame
them.
There's no reason to put out any news a week before BlizzCon, or 2 weeks before BlizzCon.
I agree, but it seems like the most newsless time in the history of Warcraft.
It's become a regular occurrence on this show. Yeah. It feels like every week you're like,
I can't help it. It's just the nature of things. People will send me an email and go, you guys don't talk about WoW. I'm like, hey, feel free to send me all the WoW info you are suddenly getting that none of us else are getting, because it's not out there right now.
You know, maybe people can set us what achievements they got this week and what, you know, dungeons they completed.
Ugh, that sounds horrible. And the show's never done that, so we're not starting.
Of course, that was a joke.
Well, Linkin Park is closing out BlizzCon. Now we finally got the news.
Oh wait, that's not a joke.
Well, it's not a joke at all. In fact, Dill's his prediction of rap rock combo that he had sort of heard rumblings about turns out was absolutely true.
So Dill's in 3, 2, 1
called it.
You have to say called it.
Oh, sorry. Called it.
He's not used to doing the dumb
but
thing
here's
I
the
always
thing.
Do.
I didn't predict it. I heard about it. Oh, like, it wasn't right. Like I just like it wasn't like I just grabbed it out of the air and was like, "You know what? I bet it's going to be rap rock." That's what I just feel it in my bones. I had heard rumblings from different people that they had heard names a la Limp Bizkit and these guys. So
okay, I'm kind of glad.
Like, I'll take these guys over Limp Bizkit.
I will too, but I will also
and
take
Sum 41.
Yeah, I will also take.
No, I like Sum 41. Eh, screw you, Patrick.
They got like
Sum
one song. Awesome. I will take playing Overwatch in the other hall over this. But
well, that's the thing. I mean, honestly, like this is the Metallica. This is and you know not to say that like Linkin Park isn't good at what they do. I mean, obviously
they're great.
They were like I remember when when they were like really popular, I watched some interview and they said that they played something like 360 days. They like toured for like 360 days out of the year.
Yeah.
So I mean, these guys worked really, really hard to get where they were. So you know, that's,
I remember, was it the singer who blew his throat out or something?
That's deserved. He had some like he was kind of a weird guy about his voice.
Yeah, and it got all janked. And
then I remember they had the guitar player who always wore like headphones on stage.
Yeah, he couldn't stand the there was something about the feedback of the crowd or something was screwing
up.
Yeah,
I don't know. He didn't want to have in-ear monitors. He wanted to have full over-the-ear headphones.
Oh, now I have to go to see if that's still going on. Just to
I mean, they're good at what they do. They're like out of those bands, they're probably like the technically like the tightest sounding group.
Well. As a tribute to Deadmau5, one of their songs, because Deadmau5 just lost his like Paragon 700 plus hardcore character in Diablo 3, so I think the lyrics are appropriate.
Paragon levels though, you just lose all your gear that he was wearing.
Yeah, you still get all that, but he had gotten it with that character, which is crazy. Sure. But anyway, the lyrics to their song that go, "I tried so hard, I got so far, but in the end, it doesn't even matter." It seems to be appropriate to losing a D3 hard character.
I've seen that joke like 7 times on Twitter now already.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Damn it! I hate the internet.
Well, it's the obvious. Like, it's the obvious one.
I
right?
know, so, but it came to me, and I thought, "Oh, Scott, you're being clever this morning. Put this in there. That'll be great. You talk about it with your pals," and turns out the whole internet had the idea.
I saw it first on like Reddit, where someone was like, "This happened in Guild Chat today," and someone was like, "I don't know why everyone's so upset about Linkin Park." in the end, it doesn't even matter. Okay. And then I saw it like a bunch more times on Twitter, and every single time it's all dumb.
I'll say this.
What I came up with.
I thought I had this great idea on TMS the other day that there should be a cartoon of Luke Skywalker when he's old with his beard and everything in a backpack on the back of John Boyega, who's playing the new character. Uh-huh. And he'd have to be trained as a Jedi in the exact same way. I thought that was hilarious.
That would actually be really funny.
Well, yeah. Then I went and searched the internet. And
somebody did it.
10 other cartoonists have already done it. So
there was I was just like getting back into like Marc Maron.
Yeah.
And he has like on his show where he went on Conan and he just like said a joke and he thought of it. Yeah. But then he realizes later that he remembered it.
I heard about that.
And he had this like huge guilt trip about it. And it's like, it is one of those things. People like just do that. They don't even realize they're doing it.
There's nothing new anymore anyway. It's all been done.
Well, Snack Shack or whatever it was, that was new.
Yeah. At the time it was new.
Yeah.
And then, but now no one knows who did it first.
No, now it's property of the internet.
Yeah. Stupid internet. All right. There's some other stuff going on, and we got some great emails and calls we'll get to here in a second. But Artanis came out for Heroes of the Storm this week. Played him a bunch because I pre-ordered StarCraft back before I knew that this was one of the reasons to pre-order. But that's all who can play it until next Tuesday.
Yeah. And a lot of protest. I'm not doing it.
People don't like it.
I don't agree with the giving of a hero early for something that you pay. Like, I don't know.
I agree entirely.
It bothers me a little bit.
To me, it doesn't bother me that there's a reward for doing a pre-order. It bothers me that it's this bumped week in a game that is all about competitive play and giving people a chance, a $50 pay-to-win chance, really.
Yeah, I mean, luckily Artanis is not broken. Like, he's not...
He's pretty
I would
great.
Not call him... Like, he's not Lich King, or sorry, Skeleton King.
Sure.
Skeleton King first hit was way overpowered.
Yeah.
And has since been nerfed a little bit. But
right.
He's good. He's just not fantastic. I think he's a second tank, really.
I agree. His shield management stuff's interesting.
Probably
not a core tank. Feels very secondary, but way fun to play.
Do a lot of damage, right?
Yeah, lots of damage if you spec him that way. He's just fun and different, and I like fun and different in this game, and I'm glad they put him in.
I have a question about what's the ability that makes you like dash forward and then dash back?
I forgot the name of it, but it's essentially it's the Q ability. You dash out that does a little damage, not a ton, but when
and
you
then
come
more
back,
damage on the way back.
Yeah, it's like double or something if you hit him on the way back.
Is it possible to cancel it before you dash back and
no.
use it as an escape mechanism
nope.
at all?
It is completely. We thought about this because the combination while we were playing the other night was we thought if we dashed out and then timed it right, we could void cube. Or whatever it's called, another player that's the one that swaps you. It's the E ability.
Oh yeah,
and,
yeah.
And we thought,
but you can only do that with enemies too, right?
Correct, and only enemy heroes, by the way.
Yeah.
So when you do that, we thought, well, maybe you can dash forward, throw off E for the cube, swap places with that guy, and somehow that meant you could escape. It doesn't work.
There's like no way to escape with him. That's what I thought was kind of
his
weird.
Shield is it. He's a little bit like imagine Mirrodin without. Being able to jump without dwarf toss. It's like that. That's how it feels to me. It feels like he just doesn't have a way out. Now, in a lot of ways, like Skeleton King's lousy at getting out, although he's in some ways he's just got...
No, he's got like the best escape, right? He's got the...
Oh, right. I forgot about his E, yeah.
Yeah, he's got the Wraith Walk.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You know, you're totally right. This is, definitely Artanis has that feeling of like, if I'm diving or going into this fray, I'm going.
Yeah, like pretty much you just turn and have to walk away.
Yeah.
I hope that works.
You did literally walk. Yeah. He's super cool. And Artanis is kind of a badass generally. And I can't wait to see his role in the new game and all that. The campaign for StarCraft 2 is very much on my horizon. I'm excited about it. What else? Hearthstone. Tell me about this Warsong Commander nerf. What happened there? There's a lot of people freaking out about that. Why?
Yeah, well, okay. So there's a deck in the game called the... Patron deck, which was basically it was named after Patron because Patron is a card, it's a 3/3 for 5, but whenever it hits something or something hits it and it doesn't die, it spawns a brand new Patron that has that exact same ability, right? So you can essentially like overtake the board with these Patrons. They're very hard to remove once you do it, and the problem really is that with a card Warsong Commander, you could actually give all of them charge. So Warsong Commander was a 2/3 for 3 that if anything that had 3 or less attack, charge. So you could play it and the patrons, start running your patrons into everything and just creating a whole bunch more patrons. This then allowed you to do things like play Frothing Berserker, which is a 2/4 that gains one attack for every creature that takes damage. So once you filled your board up with patrons, you then play your Frothing Berserker and you Whirlwind and it would hit everything, and then you could Whirlwind again because you had a bunch of Whirlwind effects in your deck, and the Frothing Berserkers would end up doing like 30 damage each. And you have two of them and play them both, and you do like 70 plus damage to a hero in turn with nothing on the board, and it was insane.
Yeah, that is crazy.
So they nerfed Warsong Commander because this basically nerfed the entire deck. It made what the deck did kind of impossible. But the problem was what they did to it was really weird. They made it, they kept it a 2/3, and then they had it give other minions with that already have charge plus one attack. Which there aren't that many minions that have charge already. There's already a card that's 3 mana 2/2 that gives every other minion one attack anyway, and it's a pretty bad card in the meta. And now you basically got a card that's even worse than that. And Warrior is really bad in Arena. So while this did fix this deck that had been like the top deck for a really long time and didn't, you know, made it so that it basically broke the deck. The problem was weakened Warriors in Arena and people were pissed about that.
Yeah, they were mad. Yes, Patrick.
Sure. Yeah, that's a problem as well. But I think you have to also explain how much of an issue that deck was. I mean, it was dominating the ladder, and it had been for what? It's been 5 months, 6 months now?
It was something around 200 days when we calculated it. However, there was Undertaker, which previously dominated the ladder, was around for about the same amount of time. So this wasn't like unprecedented that it was
I would argue it didn't. Undertaker was more versatile. That was one specific deck, the Patron Warrior, and that was it. Undertaker was
in a few decks, but the most dominant version of it was the Hunter deck. The Hunter deck that would play Undertaker turn one and then Mad Scientist turn two and just grow out of control. But I would say this. The Patron Warrior dominated competitive play much more than it dominated the ladder, because it was a very tough deck to play. There was a lot of skill around how to actually get these big combos off, setting them up and waiting for the appropriate turn to actually do it, and calculating these lethals was really, really difficult. So a lot of people played it really badly, and then they were fine. You could beat them. But people who played it really good were... It was like, when you give a very skilled player a deck that then just dominates, and then like now you've made that player just so much better than everybody else that there's no catching up. And you're forced into playing that deck or playing something that counters it. So it was affecting the entire meta, basically. Like, everything was built around beating this deck. And that's a problem.
That seems bad for the game.
Yeah.
And they also said,
creative.
Yeah. They also mentioned there were different ways they could have nerfed it. They could have nerfed the Grim Patron, which would have nullified this deck. But what they realized, or at least what they said, was basically the Warsong Commander, in the way it was built, giving, charge to the minions that had less than three health or
attack.
And that would have affected some future cards that they might have come up with, and it would have been the only way forward would have been to nerf that specific ability if they didn't want it to have an effect in the future.
That's 100% correct. Like, they had to make Dreadsteed not a like neutral card because of this card, right?
Exactly.
And so it was already limiting their design.
Yeah. They were mentioning they had Dreadsteed in the works before, but then realized because of the Warsong Commander, they couldn't have every card, every class have it, because that would be a problem. I think it's definitely kind of too bad, and there are some things they didn't address with that nerf. But they had to weigh the positives and negatives, and in this case, they just had to do it for a number of reasons that were more important and numerous than the reasons to do something else. So
yeah,
it was a call they had to make.
So my view on it is that I'm glad that they nerfed that card and nerfed what it was doing, because I do agree that it limited all future design capabilities like that. And that's what Undertaker was doing too, because Undertaker was making it so that we've got 1 mana, 1/2. And then now, anytime we design a Death Rattle card in the future, because what it did is a 1 mana 1/2 that grew every time you played a Death Rattle. And it grew both in health and attack. So it was, making it harder to kill and stuff. And now it only gains attack. So it's still like, it's going to die at some point. It's not going to just grow out of control and you'll never be able to kill it. But basically, like, anytime they were like, oh, do we want to make a one-mana Death Rattle card or a two-mana Death Rattle card? Well, no, we can't because Undertaker exists. Mm. And this card was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
The problem I had with the nerf, though, is that I do play a lot of Arena, and Warrior is already at the bottom of the barrel in Arena.
Yeah.
So you've taken a card that is a class card and a common card, which means that it gets presented to you pretty often in Arena. And you've made it now essentially a dead card. It is basically a dead card. Mm. And to fix this, what they could have done, because the card would still be bad and constructed, what I would have liked to see them do is make it a 2-mana 2/3. So that way, even though its ability sucks, it's at least a viable 2-drop, which is something that's very important in Arena, to have viable 2-drops. So giving Warrior one more viable 2-drop, class-specific 2-drop, would mean that Warriors in general would have more 2-drops. And would have cards that could play on turn two that aren't just Fiery War Axe, which is all they really have right now. Mm-hmm. So I was a little disappointed that they didn't at least like address that side of it. But I get that this had to just happen, and just decided it wasn't important enough to worry about the Arena yet, and they'll address that in a later.
Sure, and that's my feeling is they'll probably, it's easier for them to now buff it and get everybody happy than it would be for them to dink it again or to nerf it again.
I think they're going to have new cards. They're going to address the Warrior Arena issue with new cards.
Yeah,
we're due for an adventure fairly soon. But I agree.
Yeah.
It sucks as an Arena player because you just think like, well, a new adventure is still going to be a few months away. Even if they announce it at BlizzCon, which I'm pretty sure they'll do, it'll probably still be a while before it actually hits. And then an adventure is going to be tough to add enough cards to significantly alter the meta of Arena. So I don't know what they're going to add. And then, like, how are you going to add, like, a couple of cards that buff Arena so much but don't make Constructed totally broken? Because Warrior's already really good at Constructed. So I don't know. That's going to be a tough tightrope wire to cross. I don't know.
Basically, Garrosh, Hellscream, F you. That's what we're saying.
Really feel like they could have done a better job with this nerf to make it viable still in Arena. But it's, whatever. I'm over it. I'm not as upset as some other people were. And in my mind, it's like Warrior just basically doesn't exist in Arena. We basically have 8 classes in Arena. Well, 7.5. Priest is also just god-awful. But, playing Arena a lot, and, for people who don't play Arena a lot, they don't really care. It's really frustrating to play only against mages, paladins, and rogues.
Yeah.
Like, you really want to have, like, some variety in there. Right now, there just isn't, because those classes are objectively better.
I'm still to this day, and I probably will always be absolutely... I do not understand how a game like this can be made, balanced, and exist in a way that is even remotely not busted all the time. Because there's factors, so many cards, so much effect on each other, so many classes that do special things. Like, it's just, as genre creation in the industry goes, as video games go, I believe, and maybe in board games too, CCGs, I don't know how they do it. It's the most.
What's
it's
the
to
sheer
me. It's
amount
like
of cards.
Yeah, it's like trying to understand how the sun works. I guess we know a lot about that, but you know what I mean. Like, it's just it feels like mystery pie that was handed down from the clouds.
Tides go in, tides go out.
Yeah,
never change.
You can't explain that.
Can't explain that. I do. Like, my personal opinion about balance in Hearthstone is that I wish that there was constant changes being made. Small tweaks to cards. And I know that they've come out and they've said, we don't want to nerf or buff cards. We want to address them with new cards. I see that as kind of being a problem, because you basically like box yourself into a corner where then you're like, the only way we could deal with this is new cards. We got it. We've said that. That's how we do it. Where one of my favorite things to do in games is read patch notes and see what changes have been made and then go out and try them. And oh my God, this card is now back. Like in Heroes, when we just had that recent patch change, all those balance things, like Stitches is playable again. It's great. It's so fun. And I think a lot of players like this.
I really think that you're looking at this through the lens of a specific kind of player. Remember, Hearthstone is probably the most... It could be argued that Hearthstone is the most casual-friendly game that Blizzard has. And I think a lot of people in that player base would get really confused really fast or frustrated if there were, patch notes even every 2 weeks or every month where 2 or 3 cards would change. And I think that's a really important thing they're trying to preserve, is the fact that those other players for whom maybe the issue isn't as big because they're not as, neurotic about each tiny little detail as we are, they need to be serviced as well. And it's there. I had another point as well, which I forgot, but I'm sure it was pretty good.
Oh, so I'm sure it was amazing, dude. I have no doubt. I think it was.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong, Patrick, but in this case, I think you're wrong. I think the player base can definitely handle a stat being buffed or nerfed like 1 point. I don't think that's like super confusing. And I've watched new players play, and it's not like the game is like super easy to them in its current form. I feel like, you know, like Blizzard's, they're going to give us more deck slots, and they've been like putting that off because of this whole like, oh, it's too much for a new player to handle. But in the end, it's like, all right, in the end, it doesn't even matter. I was like, damn it, I said in the end, how do I not do that now? Ultimately, I think the players can handle it. And I think the players that can't handle it, it's not going to make the game like suddenly completely just super confusing to them. The game is already very confusing. I've watched people play who don't play card games ever, and they're like, oh, it's on my phone, I'll try this out. And they just don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's very casual friendly, but yeah. I think the people who can play it are not that casual that they can't understand buffing or nerfing a card like one or two points, you know?
Maybe it's, I think there's also, that's my other point. I'm not sure I agree with it, but they want to make sure that the cards feel like real cards. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of people are saying, but they're digital cards, you can change them whenever they want. But they've worked a lot, like seriously a huge amount, on the design, the animations, the feeling of all of those cards to make everything physical. Impactful. So yeah. I think that's also another reason why they don't want to go and change everything.
Well, it's clearly important to them on just by looking at it, but also Brode, I don't remember where the interview was, but I read something here in the last couple of days where he reiterated that point, that they're so resonant and slow to want to take a card and change it because it's just so important to them to keep those things.
Yeah, but yeah. I feel like it's a missed opportunity because, you know, Magic doesn't have this option. Magic just doesn't have the option to do it. They have to reprint entire cards and then tell people that this card is banned, and they do it all the time. They ban cards out. And we've got a card game that is digital, and we're like just not taking advantage of the fact that it is digital and doing what that allows us to do. Right?
That is a fair. I think that's a fair point.
You want the card game for you, Dills, and they have to make a card game for everyone.
Well, so. Not necessarily. I think that's an unfair statement because you want the card game for you. Like, and I've looked at this. I've looked at this from perspective of we get emails about this card game all the time, so I understand that other people play the game differently. And my opinion doesn't come from, I want the exact game for me. My opinion comes from, I want the best game they can make.
Yeah.
And the game that serves more of the community than, you know, because like they say, we've got 20 million people playing this game. I think that's 20 million people who've like logged in once.
I think it's 30 now.
Well, yeah, sure. But like that's logged in once. There's like I'm sure there's a huge amount of people who just did that because it's a free game on your iPhone.
I guarantee that's included in the numbers for sure.
No, yeah. I think they mentioned people who completed the tutorial. I might be mistaken, but I think that's where.
No, I think they're all included is what I'm saying. I think if you installed and logged into this game and had one of them pop up and say, "All right, here's what you can do. Choose Jaina."
No. That's what I'm saying. We should look it up, but I think the 30 million, 20 or 30 million number they gave, or whatever it was, I think they mentioned was only people who completed the tutorial. Okay. It might mean that, you know, they haven't played in 6 months, but
yeah.
Okay, that's actually kind of good. That's actually kind of cool, because that's, as a free-to-play game goes, especially on mobile, that's kind of a game in a way. Like, a lot of people will play that far into a game, and if they're not completely hooked, they'll go away. If Blizzard's doing that, I say hats off. That's a good stat.
And maybe that's not the case.
That is a good way to measure it if it is. But I want the game to be the best that it can be. And I think I just feel like there's missing opportunities they've made their statements. They've made their reasons. I get their reasons. I don't like think that they're off base with the reasons that they've given. But I just think that the game would be better with changes that made sense when they made sense and not like having some kind of stubbornness about it, like that. Oh, we just don't want to.
Well, it may change.
Of this. It may change. Look, if it makes the game better, why not just do it?
Here's let's never forget this though. Hold on. Oh, I was hoping to get to the lyric. Here we go. No.
You gotta get past all that crap.
I can't find it. All right. Finally, here in Overwatch news, this is all very exciting. The 27th is looming. It is Tuesday. It is happening. We're getting closer to the beta. The beta will include Battle.net voice chat, which is a feature that has been long rumored coming to Battle.net generally for all games, a voice client for all their products, but they're going to actually test it with Overwatch. I have it on some authority that I will be playing that game on Tuesday. Very excited. Can't wait. I hope we all get keys or however they're going to do it, activations.
Yeah, like I'm considering taking Tuesday off, but it would really suck if I did that and then I didn't have
no,
the key.
No. Not even, I mean, not even about the keys. You don't know when they're going to launch it. It might have problems.
I know.
Don't take Tuesday off.
So, Patrick,
if you're going to take a day off, take Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday, okay. When they get some of the server stuff worked out. But let me ask you that. Well, I mean, it's closed beta, so they're going to measure that out and not necessarily overload themselves, hopefully. But Patrick, you live in the land of pissed off people, or you did, because when the announcement was made, I got tweet after tweet after tweet of angry Europeans who are like, well, we don't know when we're getting it. Good luck, America. You bastards. You always get everything first from your American company that's based in America. Anyway, not to get all, xenophobic here or anything, but I'm just going to say this. All the boo-hooing was for nothing. It's getting it the same day now. Right?
Yeah, well, first of all, the boo-hooing, I think, is kind of silly. It's always frustrating. And I mean, I was frustrated as well. I don't know if I'm going to get a key, but I'm guessing it's more likely to happen if it comes in Europe as well at the same time. But it is an American company. The servers are right there. They work there. They have friends there. Of course, they're going to do it. You know, if they only have the choice of doing one, they're going to do it there. It is fine. And the other thing is, most likely, whatever person was complaining is probably not going to get into the beta anyway, because it's going to be a super limited number of people that are going to get in. So you're going to get more tweets about angry Europeans and possibly Americans and other people from the world saying, oh, Scott Johnson, he has friends at Blizzard.
That's not why. Good. Hey, they don't know why I'm getting it. I'm not giving any details away. I'm just saying that I was stressed about getting one and thinking that I might not. And then I got a very nice notification from somebody that I am, and I'm I don't want to flaunt it. I'm just excited.
No, but I'm saying however you're working some voodoo magic to get a key, I'm guessing you're probably going to get some emails anyway, because the number of people getting in is probably going to be very limited.
So yeah, that's a good point.
Europe or not, you're going to get tweets.
Yeah, probably. Look, it's exciting one way or the other. That game looks great. The streams they did from Blizzard headquarters from those couple streamers was awesome. We talked, I know, at length about this with Michelle last week, but that is just looking so much fun, and I freaking can't wait. So Tuesday, yeah. Man, Tuesday.
One of the things I really enjoyed was the tips that they gave, like to address how you were dying, or if you were, you have a little tip that displays after you die saying, yeah, hey, you should probably try and get out of the way of that huge missile and, things like that.
Yeah.
Or, they have like addressing some of the abilities from some of the characters if they kill you repeatedly. And it's such a simple little thing, but maybe there are other games that do that as well, but I've never seen it.
Yeah.
And it's really clever to sort of educate the player base in that way. I hope there are more things like that. And I really hope I know you sort of mentioned this in the show last week, but one thing I really hope they do is sort of a training area for like single player. It can be a 15 minutes thing per character to teach you how they play and how their abilities are, and
yeah, like Heroes has a great practice mode, which does two things. It entices buying, but it also gives you a place to kind of sandbox.
Yeah, and try the hero and sandbox.
I would like that, even if they're just dumb AI bots or they're some kind of targets or whatever. Exactly. Because really what you want to do in there is not so much, you know how to move and you know how to shoot for the most part, but what you want to learn is how does Q work? How does E work? What are my cooldowns doing? Like, really learn those characters that way. We still don't know how we're even getting those characters. Is this free to play? Is it premium? We had that long conversation about that last week, so we won't reiterate it here, but there's a lot to be still to be known about that game. But all I care about right now is playing it Tuesday. So
I hope I get in.
I know, I do too.
If I don't get in, I'm going to be sending you tweets.
I have pulled every string I know to get us all keys if I even have that kind of power. I know Terpster's trying to do the same with whatever leverage he has with the Yogscast.
Terpster trying to get keys for himself, as everyone is.
Well, that's true. But if I mean, look, if I could give keys to the world, I would. I just don't have that kind of power. None of us do. That's a power with great power.
Forget the world. Think of Patrick. Patrick is what's important.
Yeah, forget about the world.
We'll
I can't see. Wait. Can't wait. It's going to be great. All right, what are we doing now? Let's do some of these.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
It is indeed the town crier. Time to talk about your phone calls and emails. Calls come to us at 801-471-0462. You can email us theinstance@gmail.com. We have a question that I think is an interesting one, given the current state of things in MMOs.
Hello, this is Kucha Lang from the Silverhand server calling. I had a question for you guys. Everybody's kind of complaining about WoW being slow and all, including myself. I've actually moved to a few other games in the meantime, although I'm still playing Diablo 3. What I'd like to know from each of you is, what is your favorite non-Blizzard MMO game and why, and have you been playing it at all recently? For instance, WildStar just went free-to-play, Star Wars, LOTRO, Guild Wars 2, etc. Thanks. Bye-bye.
For me, WildStar and Guild Wars 2 are my two kind of go-to games that I liked when I played them. I don't play them a lot, and right now I'm not really either. Kind of off MMOs a bit generally. But they were great secondaries, and now that WildStar is free to play, I'll probably dip my feet in there a little bit more. But for the most part, though, the rest of the playing field just doesn't interest me very much. And you know, WoW continues to be the pinnacle, and everything else is okay. But I don't know that I have one in particular. I'd say right now, I guess if there's anything to put your heat behind right now, it would either be WildStar or Guild Wars 2. WildStar because it went free to play and has a pretty good model for that. But also, Guild Wars 2 is getting their expansion here pretty quick, and it looks pretty good. Yeah. So,
isn't it out?
Is it out now? It may be out now.
I think so.
Okay,
it's now or in a few days.
It's super close. I've been getting emails about it.
Yeah.
I think, Guild Wars 2. I really enjoyed that when I played it. I think I know it's not exactly an MMO, but Destiny might do something for you if you like FPSs and multiplayer things like that. Mm-hmm. It definitely has the end game portion of an MMO embedded into the game. Aside from that, I mean, everyone's going to have their favorite, but we're definitely not in the MMOs rule the world stage anymore.
No. No. It's all very weird right now. Dills, do you have any favorite that you either played or do?
I mean, honestly, like Guild Wars 2 is the only one that I like pop into from time to time. But yeah, I think like just the MMO model is like kind of going out of style. It's not. I wish there was an MMO like right now. I just want WoW to be like as good to me as it once was. Right, that's mm-hmm. what I really want. Mm-hmm. Like right now, I'm like frustrated with what I when I log into WoW, I'm frustrated with what my experience feels like. Because I don't really feel like I have anything I really want to work towards mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And that's part of me just like not being able to make raiding like a huge part of my life anymore and stuff like that. Cause that obviously still has that appeal.
Sure.
But I just want that to happen again. And I don't know if another MMO is going to give me that experience ever. Like yeah. I've tried a bunch of the other ones and I feel like it's just something's always kind of missing.
Maybe we have all done what all that it can do. Like maybe
it's possible. Yeah. That is possible. But I do think that out of the ones, you know, like I really enjoyed SWTOR when I was playing it. Unfortunately, like the people left and then that made the game not as fun.
Yeah, I agree.
And in MMO, the MM part has a big part of it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Gotta be massive. Gotta be all the multiplayer stuff. You know, otherwise you're just playing like a single player RPG and that's not that fun. So, yeah.
Well,
there's plenty of games that do that better.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree. So, and it's funny everyone, I didn't understand this before when people would say to me, oh, League of Legends and Dota, they've created an MMO, a compressed MMO for a different generation. And I used to think, well, that doesn't make sense to me. It's just this action, run around, do thing. But now that I've gotten so deep into Heroes, I get it. It's progression, levels 1 through potentially 30. It's unlocking things as you go. It's doing a lot of sort of questy things. It's also some boss fighty things. In a very weird way, those games are a compressed MMO. And when I mean compressed, I mean things that used to take you months to do, you do in 25 minutes and then do it again, right? It's weird, but they're right. And
the grinding comes from like trying to rank up in whatever league you are, right? And
sure.
The competitive aspect, not from
sure.
You know, trying to gain some boots that I think it would allow you to kill some boss.
Right. But then it provides this, like, you're like a 5-man dungeon raid again. And then you also has the feeling of a competitive shooter in weird ways and fighting games. And, you know, like all these things kind of thrown in there. I get it now. And I also get why that is so appealing to up and coming gamers or even veterans who have kind of moved on to that stuff. So I'm not here to say MMOs are dead. I definitely won't say that. Or that even WoW has you know, a tombstone in its future. I think it probably just has a lot of really hard thinking about what it is. Because
it just has to pivot a little bit. It has to adjust the expectations for how many people will be playing. Because I think it's still going to be like a very profitable game for Blizzard for a long time to come.
Right.
It's just, it's not going to be 12 million people. It's not going to be this like completely cultural, you know, experience that, you know, and Warcraft still will be. Just the Warcraft lore in and of itself, because now it's expanded onto Hearthstone. Like now Warcraft is 3 games wide, right? So
speaking of which, people are convinced. Patrick, I'd love to hear you usually poo-poo my predictions, and this is not my prediction, but there's a lot of talk that, because for a while they were like, oh, what do you think they'll announce at BlizzCon? And some people said, oh, Warcraft 4, wouldn't that be cool? And then most people said, ah, they're not doing that. They got to push StarCraft out the door. They're not really interested. But now, in light of everything else being out there already, nothing hidden that we're aware of, and then still having, you know, presumably some space on stage to announce something big, now that rumor mill's back in full force, and people really think that with this esports movement that they're trying to make internally and with Activision, might spell new Warcraft game in the series. I'm not so sure that's crazy. That seems maybe.
I don't know. It depends on, you know, the StarCraft 2 team is going to get together once, you know, Legacy of the Void is out, and they're going to sit down in a circle and ask one another, so what do you want to do next? And I'm not sure it's going to be another RTS. It might be, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're going to focus on heroes. Maybe they're going to, you know, that sort of split team between heroes and StarCraft is going to stay in place, and they're going to start another game. But I don't think that if they do want to have a competitive esports RTS, they have StarCraft 2. Mm-hmm. I don't think they necessarily, and you know, they're revamping a lot of things with Legacy of the Void. They're making it faster. They're making it a lot easier to consume for esports purposes. I would be surprised if they did Warcraft 4 for esports purposes. They have one. They're good on that front for another, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
So, and RTSs aren't as big as they used to in that space either. So. Yeah. I'm still not sure Warcraft 4 is going to come, or, you know, maybe it's going to be a Warcraft thing, but a different type of game.
Yeah, Dills is right, though.
And just for the record, Scott, I don't poo-poo your predictions. I just think that sometimes you make predictions that are not incredibly, you know, incredible, and then sometimes you mention that you've made them... you know, repeat it.
Listen, and I will give you
the fact that you absolutely said that probably the D3 team went and said stuff to the Destiny team, and, you know.
Yeah, that came out this week, and notice I didn't even rub it in. I didn't rub it in at all. Did you notice?
Because I preemptively shunned you for it, but it's true, you did say it. It wasn't the most incredible thing to think about, but yes, you did say it, and congratulations.
Oh, you can't even entirely give me that one. I love it. This is the best thing ever.
No,
and by the way,
you did say it.
We're going to get
and
a
I
new...
And I said, I remember, I said, I think that the Destiny, you know, the guys at Bungie are probably, you know, good enough that they know what is wrong with their game, and they don't need Josh Mascara to go and tell them what to do, which I still think there's a mixture of both. But yes, you did say that. So in a gesture of agreement with you, I agree with you.
I read that today and got all excited, or the other day and got all excited. Okay, there's a new segment on the show. It's called the PPPP. That's Patrick Poo-Poo's predictions. There you go. All the P's. all right. That's all that. Let's what's
no,
next?
I'll tell you what. If they ever do come up with BlizzMeebles, then you'll get a freaking prediction party, okay. And I'll come all the way to Utah and dance around in a circle in you know, celebration of your glory.
Oh, that my gosh. I will. We can make that happen. All right. Blizzard, don't let me down. Here's another call.
Hello, The Instance. This is Willow Thorne from the Gorgon Ash server. And I was just listening to show 462, I think. There were some 426. There were some questions about the lore of Warcraft. A player wanted to catch up on the lore. And you didn't mention Noble the Noble videos on YouTube, which are great. There's one overarching the full version of lore. This, it's called The Story of Warcraft Full Version. It is 41 minutes long, filled with in-game stuff, and covers basically from beginning to end the story of Warcraft. It's really good. Also, you can gift mounts from the store. I've done it. Works great. Thanks very much. Love the show.
Yeah, we keep getting corrections on the gift thing. We figured that one out. But the I'd never heard of this. It's a series or this channel on YouTube.
I think
so
I've seen it, yeah.
It's awesome. That sounds great. I went and checked it out. It is indeed 40 minutes long. I didn't watch the whole thing, but it's great.
Wait, are you talking about the one that's just the history of all of World of Warcraft?
Yes.
Yeah. So that guy makes a ton of videos, and he usually does like very specific
Never
people.
Seen these.
So like, you know, when there's a, we were having a whole debate whether Van Cleef was a pirate or a ninja, uh-huh. And people were trying to argue that somehow he's a ninja. And so I was like, all right, you know what? Let's go back and let's find some stuff. And that was like, I used his videos to do that, like to get my background story correct, because he has been making these for a long time. He knows all this stuff. It's very well presented. It's all really good. And that one about like all of World of Warcraft is really, really cool. So highly recommend it to everybody to go check those out.
Well, yes.
And Van Cleef is not a pirate or a ninja, by the way. He's a mason.
And a bastard. Right.
He's a mason who, well, he's not necessarily, he got shafted by the Alliance, because the Alliance is really good at shafting people, and decided to take vengeance. And during that time, ended up doing some bad things.
Yeah,
but hey, whatever,
yeah.
Man.
He's like, you know, he's a tortured hero in the beginning, and then
when you get shafted. You know, you're not responsible for your actions anymore.
I just want to mention for the record, it wasn't the Alliance; it was Stormwind.
Stormwind, the leader of
the
Alliance.
Entire, sure. Well, anyway, it still doesn't represent.
You're
the
right.
Entire
the Night Elves had nothing to do with it. Yeah.
Exactly. The Night Elves were all in their corner yep. in the little island, and they were like, what are they doing to Van Cleef? That's unacceptable.
Yeah. Poor Van Cleef. He'll get his expansion one day where he gets his redemption. You watch. Probably
he's
not.
He's dead.
Probably not.
But he's dead. And his daughter His daughter will.
Yeah. Well.
No, she's dead too.
We thought
they're all dead.
We thought Illidan was dead. I want to remind you.
Yeah, we killed her when we went back. Because the first time you kill Van Cleef when you go to, whatchamacallit, Dead
Oh,
Dead
right,
Mines?
Right.
Dead
no, but
and
I mean,
then the second time yeah. you go back, it's her it's
No,
her
you
daughter.
Killed... No, but that's just a boss that, you know, maybe she was just injured.
No, you killed her. You, like,
now,
blew up the whole ship, man.
But hold on now. We got true, alternate timeline. Freaking Gul'dan can pull anybody out of a big rock.
Yes, yeah. Okay, good point. This is, yeah. We could go, we could back to the future this anytime.
Yeah,
we
can Marvel Comics this thing right up if we want to. All right.
So much Back to the Future talk the last few days.
I know,
it's
dude.
Crazy.
I know, it's killing me almost. Yeah. There were like 15 DeLoreans parked out near where I live. They were having some kind of DeLorean party. It was insane. Yeah. I didn't even think there were that many.
It's hilarious that the Cubs actually were eliminated from the playoffs on the exact day.
Oh, that would have been great.
That's what happened.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, I thought they were out before that. I didn't realize it was that day.
Wasn't it Wednesday?
Mm.
The 21st,
yeah,
right?
21st, yeah. Right.
So Wednesday yeah. was like I was watching the game on TV. That's when the Mets won and knocked the Cubs out of the playoffs. So
yeah. I'm going to say one thing about Back to the Future 2, and then I'll get it out of my system. We never have to talk about it again. First of all, I think it's the worst of the three movies. Second of all, I think we all forget that. But second of all, why do you have to go to the future to fix your kids, Marty? Why can't Doc Brown just say, because that's the famous line, right? It's not you, Marty, it's your kids. Get in the thing and we'll go. Or we're going, we don't need roads.
Has the same like weird visceral reaction to being called a chicken.
Yeah.
That's... That's genetic.
But the whole point is, don't then fix it before you have the damn kids. Like, you know what I'm saying? Don't go to the future to fix it. You're here now.
Snip, snip, no kids.
No, the way you fix the kids is you just well, yeah, that's one option.
Okay,
I think that's.
Listen, one day.
But if your argument's Scott, if your argument is that he should have had the kids and then educate them properly to not have that defect, you know, that fear of being called chicken, the movie would have been a lot longer if we had to go through him actually getting married, raising the kids.
Or what we could have done
that wasn't practical.
We could have immortalized Back to the Future for what it was, one of the best, most culturally important movies ever made, and stopped there and not tried to keep making them. That's what I'm saying.
But then we would have never had three, and we would have never had like Biff fall into manure again.
I did like three.
That would have been sad.
I did like three.
We also never would have had flying train thing out of nowhere at the end.
Yeah, like, or that kid pointing to his wiener. You ever seen that? That is an awesome video. Patrick, if you don't know what this is, look up Back to the Future 3 pointing at wiener, and you'll get the coolest thing that got left in a movie ever.
I'm not sure I want to.
It's great. It's really, it's nothing, it's not, you know, it's not like, listen, your horse porn addiction is nothing compared to this. So don't
worry
about
it. The worst thing about Back to the Future 2 is that we haven't found a way to run our cars off of banana peels. Like, that's, what the hell, man?
None of it works.
What are we doing? Why are we spending all our time working on frivolous technology when we could be working on banana peel cars?
Yeah, I want a real hoverboard, not some stupid sideways vine star piece of shit thing. I don't want that.
You have to ride it only on metal.
I hate
those. That's the only way it works.
I hate those. All right, final call. It's a good one.
Hey, Cronus from Frostman Server again. I started out doing dungeons when I first leveled up high enough to do it, and I remember being one of those people that was didn't really know what to do in the dungeon, so they'd just roll for anything and make everybody else mad because they didn't realize what they were doing. I guess being level 98, about ready to get into raids, I was wondering, is there any guide to etiquette that you guys can, or at least some words of wisdom you can give me to follow by so I don't do the same thing? Or maybe other players that are going into raiding could use themselves. Thanks. Bye.
It's all changed now, because the old days where I could roll, you know, where a hunter could roll on some spirit gear or whatever, that doesn't work anymore. I mean, everything is, you know, personal loot.
Personal loot. So yeah, you don't even roll anymore. You just either get loot or you don't. And if I'll say this, if you did do that and people got pissed, the easy way to solve the problem is to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Here, open trade with me, and I'll give it to you."
Yeah.
Because that's a thing you can do. And the other thing to do is to just look up what stats are important to you, and just make sure that those stats are on that piece.
Yeah, and back before they did let you to give stuff back, like you had that time window to give it back.
Yeah,
sure,
ninja looters would just.
Yeah, you could have written a 4-page wiki on etiquette then, but I feel like Blizzard's put stuff in place now where you just don't have to think about it.
But it is, I mean, it is valid because you know you can tell that this caller just doesn't want to piss people off. He doesn't want to make those mistakes. So the best advice I can give is just make sure that you know, like, you don't have to know all the ins and outs of raiding. But just understand what the important statistics are for you. And, like, you can go find all this information on, like, Noxic or Icy Veins or any of those sites that just kind of give you, like, if you're, like, a warrior, just go look up Warrior WoW Guides. And you'll find something that will tell you, okay, this build wants to use these stats. Mm-hmm. And then just make sure that you pay attention and you're not, you know. But, yeah, you're right, Scott. You don't need to worry about this at all anymore with personal loot.
So. Well, yeah, it's they've made it much easier. And some would say too easy, but whatever. I think what we do now is
maybe,
pretty good.
But
I like what we do now.
I remember the first time when the first time I really had like a ninja looting experience that pissed me off. I was playing a holy paladin, and a piece of int plate dropped, and the DK rolled on it, and then he was like total ass about it when I said, "Yo, you don't need that. Can you give it to me?" And he had a whole thing where he bitched and moaned at me about it and called me all kinds of names and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was like one in thousands of dungeons I ran. It's really not like as big of a problem as. You know, it's just, but when it did happen once, it sucked.
Yeah, right? So, it sticks with you.
Yeah, so just make sure you're not being that guy. It sounds like you're not that kind of guy, so mm-hmm. you're not probably going to be that guy, even if you are worried about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're good to go, buddy.
Yeah, the bigger advice is don't be that guy. Don't be douchebag Carl. Douchebag Carl's no good for anybody.
So I just have one question about this whole thing. Just one.
All right.
What is up with that creepy kid from Back to the Future pointing at his junk? What is up with that thing?
It's so weird.
That video.
It's so weird. So there's theories about it. There's a theory that he had to pee. There's a theory, and he was telling one of the producers off camera that he had to pee or something. But nobody knows for sure.
Because he's got that weird rictus on his face. He's like, and he beckons someone over, and then he points to his penis.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
It's very weird. If you haven't looked at home, search for it. Patrick's now been exposed. You should be as well. There's nothing, you know, NSFW
about it. He's fully dressed, by the way. It's
Yeah, it's not
it's
gross.
It's just weird. It's not...
It just doesn't make sense. Or it... Yeah. That's what fascinates me about it. Who cares what he's pointing at? It's just like, what are you doing, dude? Like, why did that... And in editing, you didn't see this?
Like, yeah, why didn't nobody in editing, like, say, dude.
Yeah. And
we
they never
use the we can't use the shot where he points at his crotch.
Well, maybe it was the only good one and they were like, "Oh, people won't notice." Yeah. They didn't know there was going to be the internet and that the video would be uploaded 15 million times to YouTube, you know. No. They didn't actually go to the future, so they didn't realize YouTube was going to be invented.
Here's the thing though. Michael Jackson was a thing at this time, right? Yeah. So is nobody using the theory that he's just really into Michael Jackson? This is like a little bit of his like this was his ode.
It's his own.
Because he does the Michael Jackson like hand, like come here, hand movement.
Yep.
And then instead of the crotch grab, he just like taps it lightly, kind of.
Oh, which great. Is... Now all I can hear is bam, bam, ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da. That's all I can hear.
Exactly.
All right. Well, go check it out if you haven't, everybody. An important note, if you watch YouTube versions of this show, they're no longer going on my personal YouTube account. They are now going to go to a Frog Pants account where all the podcasts are put, and there is a link to it at frogpants.com/live. I just want people to be aware of that. So if that's how you got the show, and there are a few of you, it's not as many as get it through traditional podcast ways. In fact, it's less than 1%. But I don't want to leave you in the cold, and I wanted you to know about it moving. So we still embed them in the blog. You'll still see that. But if you're looking for subscribing to the channel where they just pop, that's the place to go to get the new link. It's frogpants.com/live. There's a link right up top. You're good to go. I just want to let people know. All right. And the worst part about this is I'm letting the people know who may not be let know because they get it through YouTube and don't know I've moved it. So you may not hear this, but I've been putting it on Twitter and other places too. But hopefully you all find where you want to go. I think that's it. We're done. Let's get out of here. Patrick, what's going on? Is there a new Pixels Out? What's going on? I love that show.
Yes, thank you. Yes, there is a new Pixels Out. We do that show every 2 weeks. So we cover the news about video games, and it's basically a summary of everything important happening with a kind of explanation of why it's happening, hopefully, if we understand. And there's also some Phileas Club shows out, still on FrenchSpin.com. The latest one, ooh, my voice did something weird there. the latest one was a special episode with Turkey, who lives in Saudi Arabia. And we basically spent an hour talking about what life is like in Saudi Arabia. So if you know, we hear a lot of stuff about Saudi Arabia, and usually it has to do with terrorism or oil. And we don't really know. It's a super important country geopolitically, but we don't usually hear about what people are like in that country. So the goal of that show, that episode, is to have you spend a day in Saudi Arabia, and we talk about kids going to school and how they do the prayer thing and traffic in Riyadh and a bunch of stuff. So FrenchSpin.com if you're interested. It's a really fun episode, and I hope you like it.
You know what I would have asked if I were there? Go ahead. What do you think I was going to?
I was going to say something inappropriate.
I may be as well, but I want to ask him, why do all the headscarf things the dudes wear, why do they look like tablecloths from a Pizza Hut in 1987? Why is that a thing that you wear on your head? I really want to know that.
You know what?
What?
I'm doing another episode with him tomorrow. That's a regular episode where we get people from different countries in the world. I'll ask him then.
Okay, dude. Yeah. If you don't mind, I would love to know the answer to that. And also, when are you going to have Saudi Arabia on to talk about what it's like to live in Turkey? All right, moving on. Dills. What? That was a terrible joke. What's going on this week for you, sir?
Let's see. Check me out on Stormcast and The Angry Chicken, both on Mondays, and twitch.tv/WillieDillsSF.
Nice.
That's pretty much it. Thanks to you guys both for sending me quotes for a little work project about podcasting and its history and why it's cool. You guys both gave me some great stuff. So,
sorry it took so long. I was
it's cool.
Late
it's
going to
get in there anyway. We've gone through like multiple edits at this point, so it's not like the whole thing is like done. So
yeah.
But when it is out, I will let you guys know. I'll let everybody know where they can find it. We're probably just going to publish it on the site for now.
Nice.
And then the boss has plans where he wants to like he wants to like shop it around to get like people to read about what's going on with podcasting, because I think it's an initiative where like not enough people are like paying attention to where podcasting actually sits at the moment.
Sure.
And so
I agree.
It's actually in a really good place right now.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I hear it's back.
Yeah, it's all back.
Yeah.
Thanks, Siri.
It's like the growth leveled off for quite a while, yeah. And that's pretty normal, but it's started to spike again. So.
Yeah, that's good stuff. We'll make sure we tweet the hell out of that when it comes out. All right, I guess that's it. There's a lot going on around here, but you can find all of it at frogpants.com. Theinstance.net is our website. Instant Show on Twitter. Scott Johnson, Willie Dills, _T, and not Patrick. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley. Big thanks to Paul Swickard, who takes care of the website. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, for Dills. We'll see you next time.
BlizzCon!
Oh, yeah. That's real soon.
Damn it.
Well done, everyone.
You heard at Gamescom, the expansion hype is quickly on the run. You wait for BlizzCon and wonder if those artifacts will be fun. You close your eyes and hope that Garrison's will never come back. But all the while, you hear that podcast ramping up the hype. You're out of time. It's almost Legion. Legion time. And no one's gonna save you from the beta data mine. It's almost Legion. Illidan's night. You fight to keep away from all the spoilers. And Legion launch night, and something green is lurking in the dark. You click resubscribe, though you promised you would always be a part. You try to leave, but you click the download button before you knew it. The character screen, create new button, looks you right between the eyes. You gotta try, cause this is Legion, Legion time. And there's no way you won't make a Demon Hunter tonight. You know it's Legion, Illidan's night. You had to resubscribe to fight the burning Legion tonight.
Darkness falls across the land. Gul'dan's back by dev demand. Demon hunters double jump to aggravate you in arena. And whosoever is a noob who does nothing but QQ can try to resist the Hounds of Fel or succumb to Kil'jaeden's spell.
You are not prepared!
The foulest stench has gotten stranger. The funk of 40,000 gamers fighting demons and ghouls from Sargeras' tomb, keeping them sealed within their rooms. And though you fight to not resub, the loot's a tempting reason, for no mere raider can resist the might of the burning.
Party preparations make for massive mail meltdown. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. With the defeat of Garrosh Hellscream and the rise of a common enemy in the Iron Horde, relations between Horde and Alliance can certainly be said to have become at least somewhat less hostile over the past year. In recognition of this, Jaina Proudmoore announced last week that she was going to hold a huge Hallow's End costume party in Dalaran this coming weekend, open to both factions. Tickets were made available during this past Monday night's arena match, and proved so in demand that the crush of requests overwhelmed the usually rock-solid Azerothian mail service. Fortunately, the purchase window was extended, and at last check, thousands are planning on attending. To publicize the grand event, Lady Jaina commissioned a poster showing the major leaders of the Horde and Alliance dressed in the costumes that they were planning on wearing. Speculation abounds, however, over the fact that one key figure is not shown on the poster, young Prince Anduin Rin. ODN has learned that the prince has commissioned an impressive suit of armor for the party, but when we attempted to ask Anduin about his plans, he brushed past us, grumbling no comment and saying something about finishing what has been started. Consider us here at ODN puzzled over why a young priest would choose a warrior's armor costume, and why the normally kindly prince gave us a cold shoulder. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Hey guys, this is me, M.I.Y., with a 90-second tip and patch 6.2.2. Repeating, of course. With the release of Flying and Draino, a unique opportunity to level faster has arisen. I learned about this from a guide written by Mad Season Show on Wally. Within it, he details how one might level from 90 to 100 in under 2 hours. Of course, I had to try this out, and while the guide is written for an Alliance character, I find it to work even for a Horde player like myself. The guide revolves around using the Elixir of the Rapid Mind, Flying, bonus objectives, heirloom gear, and treasure hunting to power level from 90 to 100. The elixirs grant 300% bonus experience for 15 minutes, and the guide is about setting up runs that maximize the elixir's 15-minute buff uptime. I myself went from level 94 to 99 in 11 minutes during my Gorgon run. If you should decide to try this out, look up Mad Season Show's guide on Whitehead for details and specifics. You guys have a wonderful day. And this was a tip from me, M.I.Y. And remember, stay frosty, my death knights.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.